At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay.
All right. We have to start this all the way over, which is totally fine. This is the second shot of us. This is me and my lovely grandma. This is the fourth episode of Knowing is Knowing, season two. I appreciate you all tuning in today. I wanted to do this episode for a very, very, very long time. And the biggest thing I wanted to do this year was to be intentional, and I feel like intentionally this thing went left, which is okay. We're gonna do this again. It means we want to keep this going. But I do have the honor and pleasure to have my lovely grandmother here today. So, Grandma, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I just don't like my outfit. My shirt says to be kind, and that's what I try to be with love and kindness. Have I drawn then?
Yes. So, as I mentioned, this year for me is I want to be intentional. And I think the biggest thing that I'm learning at my young, ripe age of 29, or soon to be 29, is that time continues to move on. And the big waste for nobody. And that's a lot of times that we say that we're going to do something. And then we push it off for several reasons, because we feel like we're always going to have more time. And this week alone, as you know, it's just been a crazy week. And so I had my pod stuff with me, and I came to your house the other day, and I was like, Grandma, how would you feel being on the podcast? So
I told you I'd be on it.
Yes. So I think in the perfect celebration, this is meant to happen. 2024, yes, 2024, perfect celebration to have this conversation. And I think this conversation is important, and this is and I know that, you know, this is being recorded and it's being shot, but I think hopefully this can create a spark for other people to have conversations with the loved ones, you know, if you're
senior citizens.
Say, oh, well, I don't want to throw the age out. You know, to me, you're always forever young in my heart, but I just wanted to really make this meaningful, as I try to do in anything that I do, because, you know, I think that we can all learn from each other. And yes, you've been such a vocal person in my life, and you guided me with so much that I think that, you know, your story, your life lessons could be beneficial for other people. And so, you know, we joked around it that this may go viral, and if it does, that'd be great. If not, it's a blessing just to sit down and have this conversation. So you're doing okay, everything's good.
Hallelujah.
Life is good. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
This has been a crazy start to the year, but also I'm very grateful to be back home, to be able to sit here and reflect and connect with you all. It's been 6 months since I've been away, since I moved.
How? It's too long. I've been up there, though.
You've been?
I've been on train.
Yeah.
Drive. They won't let me drive too much, but you know my heart.
Yes. It's not that we won't let you drive.
You know, I'll be on the road, tell y'all I'm in Kansas City somewhere.
I think it's just more so the fact that we know you would just leave.
That's true.
I think it's more so, and I think that's beautiful that you're Asia.
I'm not afraid.
That you're not afraid. That you.
Fear is up.
It is, and
faithful
I think
fear.
Absolutely, and I think those are things that new at your age, you provide a perspective that a lot of us are still trying to figure out. And the reason, you know, outside of having this conversation, just learning more about you, is that, you know, it's just having some of those questions answered that I think a lot of us want to know. And I think that you've provided, like I said, provided so much insight for me over the years. And so when I think about my generation, the younger generation, and I think a lot of us sit around spending time trying to find the answers to some of life's biggest questions, something you've always tell me is just to keep on living. And I think, you know, we're in a state of mind today where we get a lot of information given to us all the time, but we never really get a chance to just like to sit down and talk to somebody that can kind of guide us. So for those people that have some of life's biggest questions. I do think you have some great answers. So I do have a couple questions for you, but that's okay.
Okay, that's great.
That's so
I want to say this to the people out there. The truth will make you free. Not a lie. The truth will make you free. Not set you free. Make you free. Make you take full advantage of who you are. Knowing where you can go by the truth. Not deception.
What you always say to me? The three D's?
The three D's is the lie, the illusion, and deception. I've been giving him that since he was a little boy. The three D's. Denial, delusion, and deception.
And why do you think those three D's are important before we get into the other questions?
First of all, they came from me. My name is C.
Right.
But the life that I live each and every one of those illusions. That's what I call them. But they're really the truth. You, when you know something is truthful and you keep saying it's not, then you're in denial. Deception is being deceived. That some people put on perpetrating their feelings, hiding their feelings. That's not who they are. And it makes you think twice about what who they are instead of acknowledging who for who they are and what they are. But by them being deceitful, then you really don't get to know that person. A lot of times you miss opportunities by that.
Due to deception?
Yes.
What do you mean by opportunities?
Well, I lost a lot of friends that way. I thought they were my friends and be going down the road together, and I look back, he didn't left me and went on off with somebody else. But it's okay.
Right.
Because it let me know how, it taught me how to walk alone, how to stand alone, how to be an overcomer. You don't know, you can't, everybody's not going with you. I told you that. Everybody can't go where you're going. And that's good. A lot of them don't need to go no way.
When I tell you I've been hearing this advice forever, and I think that was one of the hardest things for me, like growing up, was really just understanding how.
You can buy yourself.
Yeah. I think we've talked.
An independent person. You have to be independent.
We've talked about that a lot where I've told you, like, I always struggle with being viewed as like a bad person. But I always think in my heart that my intentions are always pure people.
Well, that's because somebody put that idea in your head. It wasn't me. It was from the family. It was somebody that she was running with that was deceiving you.
Right. So we got denial, delusion, and deception. And so for somebody, and I think we talk about this often, you know, and not in a light, in a negative light, but, you know, times have changed, you know. And in your life, you've seen, I think, just the world change from vastly different perspectives. From the 50s.
Yes, in Black Panther days.
Black Panther days to the rise and fall of, we talked about, like, the Black family and, like, how that's influenced things. And we'll get to that in a second. But even, like, in today's time where we are very driven with information, I was just curious to know, do you think the reason why a lot of us struggle with deception is because we don't want people to see who we actually are?
No, I think the reason why you're getting deception because you're not trying to communicate with one another. You're on this internet all the time. They're putting all this false narrative about some of it's true and some of it not. So you have to decide who's telling the truth and who's telling a lie. So that puts more strain on your ambitions on making decisions for yourself, because you really sounds good, but everything's not good.
And do you think, okay, so now let's stay on that for a second. So obviously, you know, this is more of the space that I'm in where I make content, I pay attention to the trends and stuff like that. Do you think from your perspective, since you're kind of more on the outside end, do you think that we are trying to fit into something that is unrealistic?
No, I don't think it's not realistic. I think you need to fit in where you're supposed to be in, not in somebody else's shoes. Everybody got their own shoes. Everybody got their own legs. They'll walk their own journey. So for me, I'm not a singer, so why would I be on stage trying to sing? I'm not a singer. My lane is to, I'm a people person. I love people. I'm a social person. I stay in my lane. People want to be all over the place. You should walk in your calling. You should know your purpose and your plan. Mm-hmm. If not, ask, pray.
So how do you find that? I tell you all the time, like, I think that's one of the hardest things I think a lot of us are trying to do is finding what we're meant to do when there's so many options.
You have to find out who you are. You got to know who you are and your beliefs and your standards and what you're good at, what you do. It's like you're good. This is something you would do. I always told you you're gonna be someone great. You're a writer. You're doing podcasts. I've been on the radio a long time and on TV too. Back in the day, not thinking that I would do this today, but I want to say to you, I'm very proud of you, and because you're walking where you're supposed to be, you're not all over the place.
But I feel like it a lot though.
That's because of society today. You have to be a multitasker today. You can't just do one thing anymore. You have to be more versatile now than back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a good auto worker, if you were a good steel worker, if you were a good mechanic, that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
People weren't trying to be a mechanic, a painter. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were jack of all trades, then you could do that. But do what you're called to do and what you're best at doing.
Mm.
Not what people say you are. You ought to know. I'm not a painter, so I can paint a house, but I can't draw. So, excuse me, y'all. But I'm just saying.
That's okay.
I'm just kind of.
Yeah, I understand. Back in the day, for sure.
You spoke. That's true.
Yes, I get what you're saying.
I'm not a drawer. I can't. You know, still making. Flowers upside down, little tulips with little dips up top. You know, that's not me.
Yeah, no, that's okay. It's like, I appreciate that. I'll make sure to fix that. But no, I think that's I think that does bring a valid point though. And I want to ask you, and we've talked about this too. Something that's always been important to me, and we've talked about it just more so. I understand like the dynamics of our time, because you alluded to it in the first shooting of this, where, you know, you growing up, you felt that there was more of a structure of a village of how you all were raised, and you feel now in today's time, it seems more separated, for a multitude of reasons. A lot of it is maybe the implementation of technology and kids kind of being fed off into that. And you also said more of like a lack of structure from like a head of a household, usually like an elder or something like that. Do you feel like that's not happening the same way?
You're not even allowed to discipline you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it was abusive, but some of these children need to be sitting in a corner somewhere, some kind of discipline.
So you're saying that times, in your mind, you think that times have changed because of how...
It didn't hurt me. It helped me. Because I wouldn't keep doing the same thing over and over, because I knew what
the repercussions were.
Right. So
okay,
these kids don't have me. You just say, well, don't do that, baby. Don't do that. But
so you think that the parenting styles have changed?
Well, society changed it when they took the prayer out of school.
Mm-hmm.
When the teachers weren't allowed to hit you on your hand. I think that was very abusive, but it taught you how to still in school.
Mm.
Now, you can't even hit your children if they hit you.
Okay.
My girl, I don't feel that way. If I hit you, then I'm going to call the cops myself.
Lord. I think, okay, so there's two points. And that I don't disagree with the aspect of the viewpoint or where you're coming in that. I think for a lot of us growing up,
I want to say this, not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
That's why we have so much brutality. They're getting away with it. You know, you weren't allowed, you know, to hit your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the girls. When we fought, we was in the alley. We weren't fighting on the streets. We went down by the railroad track somewhere where nobody could find us. With people, and then that's where you fought. You weren't fighting in the middle, in front of your house or nothing. You went somewhere. We're gonna meet at 5 o'clock, 2 o'clock after school, 3:30.
Yeah.
We're gonna meet here to end this dispute.
Mm. So you think
and it was over?
So you think it's one of those things where that kind of goes back to my point then. So what I was trying to get to is more so that a lot of, I think in today's time, and I kind of grew up in that, I think I'm still in that time of, you know, some of us, you know, we did do something bad. There was repercussions from our actions from that standpoint. I don't think it was abusive, but I do think why things have changed is the mental aspect of how it affects us down the line. Because, yeah, there's a truth that in you all's time, there was very much a hardening aspect that I don't think a lot of us can truly comprehend. You had segregation, for one. You had the civil rights movement. You had all those various steps, which I feel like, you know, does play a big role in how you kind of adapt to things. When those things are not in the same space in today's time, there is more of a softening blow. I do, in that aspect, I do agree. I do think sometimes there are a lack of structure. Kids are getting away with more different things because of the various aspects. But I do think that approaches change or try to change just because we don't want to continue to have that, the label of a generational curse. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's a curse. I think it's a blessing. A curse is a blocking blessing. Everything is not a curse.
Mm.
Some things are just given. It's just the hand you were dealt.
Mm.
It's not a curse.
Mm.
That's something that we've been taught by society for years to give that, the excuse for our poor behavior. But you have to be, if you do something wrong, then, you know,
there should be repercussions. Again, right. That part I'm not disagreeing with at all. Again, and the hands that are dealt it, those are, I think that is perspective based. I couldn't tell you what it was like in that time, so I personally never judge based off of what was kind of presented, you know, if that makes sense. It wasn't really to the point where it was so bad where I'm like, oh, okay, this is entirely too much, because I wasn't there in that time. But
at my time, you had different people to deal with you on, depending on what your personality was.
Exactly.
I've always been dealt with the underdogs. I guess because I was the oldest child. So I was more the disciplinarian.
Right.
And I understood what, I mean, going through what they were trying to go through.
Right.
I think I was more adept to do that. And even today, as being a leader in the community, on my job, I try to walk the walk and talk the talk. And that's how you earn the respect. On my job, everybody called me Miss Dale. I looked a lot younger than some of the people that worked there, but everybody called, even my manager from the job, calls me Miss Dale, and that's an honor. That wasn't just because of how I carried myself.
So you think that honor? You think that honor has changed in today's time?
Yes. Because they're who they are.
Yeah.
They're just supposed to have it. That's not it.
So you think honor is something that should be given?
It's given.
But respect should always be given to everybody. Respect. But it's not.
To a dog.
Okay.
You see a dog across the street, he might bite you. Go on the other side. Out of sense.
I think the question is more so, honor is something that is given, but respect is something that's
to a dog.
That you'll do to a dog.
Cat too. And treacherous too.
Okay. That's so.
you have to have a sense of humor.
No, I get what you're saying, though.
You have to have a sense of humor. And that's what we're lacking too. Everybody's running around all mad about
everything.
No, not everything, about their poor choices. And they're blaming it on everybody.
Yes.
You had opportunity. You could have turned out to be one of somebody in the street. No matter what you're given, it's a choice that you make. I was a street person at one time, and I didn't like it too good. And while I was out there, they said, well, you know that. You don't even belong here. And I thought I was doing good. But people know who you are when they see you.
Okay. So do you think there's a lack of accountability in today's time?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I do believe that. I believe that a person should be judged for who they are, and what they present, not their color, not their content. They are. Respect, give respect. And I will give you a prime example. I'm still saying, yes, ma'am. How may I help you, sir? No, ma'am. And other people on my job look at me as if to say, why do you keep saying that?
Mm-hmm.
That is something that's instilled in me.
Mm-hmm.
things that are good should stay. Mm-hmm. What's working should stay in your life. Mm-hmm. And that has gotten me far mm-hmm. from just being the foundation has a lot to do of your results when you get older. Mm-hmm. You can fall down, but if you have a sure foundation, you can come back.
Mm-hmm. So?
I'm the comeback kid.
No, I think that's okay, so let's stay a little bit on this topic. Let's transition just a little bit. I know, fortunately enough, I have seen in lifetime that two things. It was young, though. I saw you married at a young age, which was...
I was 30.
Yeah. But I'm saying my young age, I was like, I was three,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you was three.
I was like three. But also...
I waited.
What do you
mean? I waited to get married.
How old were you?
30.
So you got married when you were 30?
Yeah.
What made you wait so long? Especially in that time where it's a little bit different.
I just thought it was time. It was time. You know, you just can't stay out the street all your life. I mean, for real. I mean, you just can't be out there all your life. I mean, you know, you have to have some kind of structure.
Yeah.
And my children were getting older, and I wanted them to go to college and to have a good family,
yeah.
You know, mm. a solid family. That was very important to me.
Mm.
And that's why we have so much brokenness now, because the people don't want to fight for what they need to have. And I fought for what I needed to have. Mm. I fought out there on that job. I fought even in sickness. You know, I had several car accidents, cancer. I fought. I told you I'm a comeback kid because I had to live for my children. I had a purpose and a plan for their life.
Mm.
Mine might not have been the best, but we still want better for our children and for our generation and our generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't see anymore. It's everybody's.
It's about self.
It's mine.
Yep.
You got to get your own.
Yep.
But no, you have to reach down and pick them, you know, see somebody down. Go. I see people on the street. I give, you know, and you got that for me too.
Mm.
You don't have to give them money. Just give them something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
A kind word, a smile, touch them. You know, whether they're dirty or not, hug them. You know, they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can get away from that. Well, you're better. You out here and rich folks driving all these fancy cars and everything. But don't forget, you walked at one time too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started out walking.
Right. No, that's okay. Well, you mentioned something I think is really important to touch on. You said that we don't fight for anything anymore. And do you think that it also, and I usually don't talk about this because I agree with what I think you're about to say,
okay.
But I try to stay away from this type of content making because it's very, to me, it's very cringe because it's very much,
today's society.
Right. And I try to stay away from it, not because I don't care.
You have to tell the truth.
No. Let me get to the question. I'm sorry. Do you think that people don't fight for love anymore because of the time they were in? Do you think it's... I am asking this question. I know what you're going to say, but I'm curious to know why do you think that doesn't happen anymore? Why do you think people don't fight? Is it because of...
It's so easy to walk away. It's easy to walk away that you don't even have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, walking away is a coward way to me. If something belongs to me, and I think I've earned it, and I'm going to fight.
Okay, now what about those people and this is part where I agree with another stance. What if there's been, like, mistreatment in that relationship?
They got to go.
Okay, but you're saying there is no mistreatment in a relationship.
Oh, you have mistreatments, but it's according to what you're being mistreated for.
Mm.
What did you do to get to deserve that? Some things, you know, that poor behavior, then, you know, you get poor consequences.
But what if there is no poor behavior? What if it's just, you know, somebody's...
Something's wrong with them then. Okay. That's why it's so important to know who you are. Mm. So that you can call them out. No, that's not... Nothing's wrong with me.
Mm.
Something is wrong.
Okay, so if there is no mistreatment, but they're just having, you know, a rough patch, you're saying that it's easier for people to walk away in those situations.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about anything. They don't want to, you know, just like on the kids, they don't... I'm a firm believer. Don't text me. You could text me, but talk to me first and text me later. But you have to talk to me. I don't understand these You sent the wrong emoji, you sent the wrong thing. You said something else. Which, that's what's wrong with us now. We don't communicate.
We don't communicate to what we're actually
what
feeling.
We're actually saying and say what you mean and mean what you say.
Right. Now, agree. I do think another instance or another aspect that makes it a little challenging in today's time, and I know this is where I think the generations will differ, is that, you know, we're in a world now where we're presented with more options, if that makes sense. So, like, and this is from the perspective, I don't know. Like, we went to go see the movie Fences a couple of years ago. Fences, yeah. Yeah, we went to go see Fences, and we saw how Denzel's character, you know, he cheated outside the relationship, but I think in that situation.
I took you to that movie just for that reason.
No, definitely. I think
it's a part, you know.
It's definitely one of my favorite movies.
It's the real world. So yeah. That's why I wanted us to go see, other than these lollygag movies. Chris, he done the sequel.
Yeah.
That's the real world.
Yeah.
So, in fence.
Yeah, no, I just think more so the question, like what I saw, and I don't justify his actions in that film, but it was just like, okay, this man did this with this small amount of options. Imagine the world now where every time somebody gets on something, they're seeing.
And that's steady.
Right, and that's on both sides. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I feel like a lot of people, when we get in these spats with people, we just tend to look elsewhere because those options are being presented to us. Kind of like the grass is greener. It's always green on the other side.
You had water on the other side, too.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, you had water on the other side. Some just weeds over there, too.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's always because it's new, right? Because it's new.
No, it's not new.
No, I'm saying, I think that's why
nothing's
people.
Nothing's new under the sun.
I know that. What I'm saying is that I think most people feel when they find somebody new that it's going to be better because they have not experienced everything that came with that new person.
Well, I'm giving you this option. Remember, you got some nice new shoes. Until you break them in, don't they hurt sometime?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and now, use that analogy.
Again.
Even clothes that you buy.
Yeah.
Until they stretch and fit your form, your body.
Right.
They don't feel well.
Right.
So that's.
I agree. I'm just making sure.
Some options. Think about it. It's common sense. Some things are just common sense.
Yeah. So you don't think we fight for things anymore because we don't want to communicate those things?
I don't think it's not about being communication. I think the people just have an easy way out.
Ah. You think people just want to just walk away when it gets hard?
Yeah, but if you don't go after them, then they're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. But if you don't try to stop them for their or choices, or try to reason, come together, and then if they want to go, then say a little bit. I don't want to buy anything. Mm. They don't want to be with you, let them go.
Mm.
But most don't come back. You know, I want to witness that. Most don't come back because, just like you said, the grass look green on the other side, but then they can't cook, they can't clean, they look barbied up all the time, or cute, or whatever. Or he's sharp, opened up the car door. 2 weeks later, he's not opening up the car door for you anymore.
So consistency matters.
Consistency matters.
Mm.
Even if you just get a little bit.
I agree.
And none at all.
Okay, so answer this one. This one I really want to know. I've always stood on this, and I'm going to. Do you think love is a feeling or an action?
It'll be both.
Which one do you think sets the precedence?
Action.
Okay, so
make your mouth say anything.
That's all I want to hear. That's all I want to know. That's all I need to hear right there.
I told you that you can make your mouth say anything, get whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said the three D's: knowledge, illusion, and deception.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to find out the person within. Take time to get to know them, because what's in you going to come out.
Yeah,
it might be 10 years, but it's coming.
I agree. I think that's real. Okay, so we kind of got to that. So how do you think we fix this overarching thing? And this I don't even consider it just like a black relationship issue. It is a very prominent thing in black relationships. So
it's not. I don't think it's just a black thing because you see more divorces on TV with the white folks than the dudes.
Right. That's why.
I guess because maybe they got more money. I don't know what that is. I'm just making fun about it. Just open up me.
Yeah.
But no, I just think that if you look back over, most of our seniors are gone.
Yeah.
In the Black communities.
Mm.
You know, the senior mothers, they've gone.
Mm.
The church mothers used to come get you off the street.
Mm.
Most of them are deceased now.
Mm.
I'm the senior now in my family.
Mm.
I have one living aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else on my mother and father's side is dead. So I am the senior of both sides of my family.
Yeah.
And that's a tough shoe.
Right. Tough shoe to fit.
But I want to say this. Because you have the education,
mm-hmm.
you know, I work with several organizations, and they always chose me to be the president. And I want to know why y'all got the masters and the doctors and different degrees. And you know what the answer was?
Mm-hmm.
They told me that I would always be fair.
And that holds more value than...
Well, I don't think it was because I wasn't educated. Mm-hmm. It's because I'm more conscious
mm-hmm.
of what I see mm-hmm. and hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't act, what you call it? It's
impulsive.
Impulsive. I'm not an impulsive person. I used to be. That's how I know the difference. See, once you come to knowledge of who you are, you can walk there and you can change things.
Mm.
But you have to acknowledge that you're poor behavior. And that was one of my, I was impulsive. Everybody see you want to go, I'm gone. I'm ready.
Mm.
Not thinking.
The repercussions.
The repercussions.
Yeah.
Just at the moment, notice, yeah, let's go, I'm going.
Mm.
But a lot of times, it caused a lot of my friends in their life.
Mm, being impulsive.
Being impulsive. And a lot of times, they left me because I was still trying to get Barbie up. So, you know, God saved me
right.
from a lot of destruction.
Okay, so let's stay on this real quick. So you mentioned, I wanted to talk to you about this too. We don't have to go about it fully in depth. I know we could talk about this for hours. So I think there's a shift in... our time from a religious aspect. Where you see a lot of us, we don't, you know, some people label themselves as Christian, some label themselves as spiritual. From a person who is relatively deeply ingrained in church, do you see an issue with that shift? Or do you understand why there may be a shift in a lack of younger people in church today?
I see it's a lack of commitment.
Hmm.
Younger people aren't committed to things like older people are.
Okay.
You know, once we make our mind,
we stick to it.
Stick to it.
Yeah.
And even you have to sit through it, different things, you just don't walk away. You know, you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. You don't know why, but you got to sit still and wait and see.
So you think it's a patience issue?
Yeah, they have no patience. Patience. Everything's instant.
Mm.
Anything back in the day, you had to earn what you received.
Mm.
Well, you said you want some new sneakers.
Mm.
You had to do all your chores.
Mm.
You had to do everything. You had to be not waiting on Christmas.
Yeah.
But you had to earn it.
Right.
It just wasn't given to you because you asked for it.
Yeah.
Or because, and my mother and my family, we weren't well off, but we weren't poor either.
Mm.
But what I'm saying is we had to earn everything we got. It just wasn't handed to you.
Right.
And this is what the children of mom and $200 and $300 from sneakers and these pocketbooks and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, okay. That's,
but that's good, though. That's good if you can afford it.
I'm like, I see where you're coming at. Okay, so you're saying more... you think that the financial perspective of what we spend things on with kids.
Well, I don't see y'all trying to teach them how to put no money in the bank.
Ah, see where this is going.
Yeah.
Financial literacy.
You had all kind of banks. Pigs, cows, guy to put your money in.
Right.
You know, I mean, I taught you the value of a dollar.
Yes, but and also in today's time, though, I think we can all admit, too, that the economy has changed significantly.
Because of the economy changed because of advertisement.
Advertising.
All these TV channels, you got, 500 TV channels? You don't need but five. You only watch but six of them, for real. Right. But you have all these options, and too many options aren't good.
I agree. I don't think that, but I'm just saying, though, I think.
I mean, it's good for people that are, if you're mentally wired like that, everybody's not wired like that.
Mm.
You know, some people learn, like I told you, I'm a visual learner.
Mm.
Some people like read, you know, some people money. You know, you got to walk in your calm.
Mm.
And I think they have too many options and not knowing what to do. Mm. It's too many. You have to be, you know.
So it goes back to patience.
And then the parents have to see what you're good at. You know, let all these kids running around here trying to sing. Everybody can't sing. Like I was saying, and you see them on the YouTube. And who told them they can sing? Some of them can, some are very excellent singers.
Are you, so you're saying you think that we're not giving kids the harsh truth early?
No.
Okay. I agree. I think the hard part is that once you kill a child's imagination, they can ruin them for life.
No, I've always had imagination. I just couldn't draw. I could make anything. I could tell you, I can create a whole house without drawing. I could tell you what colors to put in it.
Mm.
So that has nothing to do with creativity.
No, what I'm saying is that I think what tends to happen, and a lot of it could be predicated because of how our life is designed today.
Yes.
Is that a lot of it, you know, I think this is twofold. I think you should tell people that they are capable of doing many things. The other thing is, you know, the realistic conversation. Oftentimes when it comes to people close to us, it can be presented in a way that's deflating because maybe that person, that parent tried to do it and they're trying to scare their kid away. Now, I get what you're saying. Like, the kid cannot sing. You know that early. Can a kid learn how to sing that?
This deception I was given and delusion. That's how this one of my 3Ds. I thought that everyone that went to college was smart.
Mm.
And I was told at an older age, no, that you don't have to be smart to go to college. I said, well, some of them do, you know, depending on what you're trying to be.
Depends on the school, yeah.
Yes. But this is what I was told by a very well known, rounded society. People that was educated, that's all they knew. They told me only thing you had to do was pay your money, show up in class, and behave yourself, and they will pass you or you will graduate. You don't have to be smart, just make the grade, and they'll pass you on. And I thought everybody went to college was, I really did. I thought you had to have an IQ of 3.6 or, you know,
to
go to school, but you don't. Don't know what they do. Show up, make the grade, mind your business, behave yourself, and they'll pass you on to it.
But at that time, though, I mean, things were different. Cause, I mean, college at that point was very, I mean, college still is. It is,
but
so.
That was the delusion they told me.
What I was saying
I wanted to be an airline stewardess, but I was too short.
Oh.
But I knew I'd be great at it.
Right. I think you would have been.
Yeah, I did. At that time, you had to be like 5'7", 5'9". And then we didn't have a lot of, you know, color, you know.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, that's what I always wanted to be. And then I always wanted to be a nurse. I went in high school. I went to study Latin. I was good at it. And by me being a visual person, I think they thought that I was cheating. By me being visual, I could tell you how I got the answer because I remember.
But you couldn't prove it.
But I couldn't prove it. So I don't think that was fair to me.
So how did you navigate through that when your dreams were deferred into different routes?
Well, then you had to do what worked. You had to find another alternative. Just don't sit there and don't do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do something to survive.
Right. So what would you tell? Is that what you would tell?
Don't let anyone take your dreams away. You know who you are. You know who you want to be. And be the best at what you can be. And you have more than one option.
As far as what you're trying to do.
What you're trying to do. Yeah. I mean, like for you, you wanted to be a ball player and you was good at it. And
Try to tell you.
I'm not going to tell that story, but anyway. he was very good at it. I knew that's what he was going to be. But things changed. So he had to go another route.
It was the best lesson, though. It's the best route. It was the best thing to happen to me.
But but through the pain, what victory?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Pain brings victory.
I think I've always told you, though, I've been trying to chase that. I've been trying to find that feeling again.
But you can help it with the children that you see.
No, 100%.
Potential to be ball players or whatever they can be.
That was hard, though.
That's what I do.
I think it's, yeah. When you're just younger, though, like, you know, you don't really.
No, you think just it's the end of the world.
Right. And I didn't. Because my love for baseball was so deeply ingrained, I probably have never loved anything as much as that one particular sport. Even if I never went pro, I was so
adamant.
Yeah, that was literally my first love, and so to lose that.
But you don't have to lose.
No. What I mean,
gain.
I've gained a lot, but I'm saying to lose at that point in time when I thought I lost.
Yes.
I spent a lot of my 20s trying to refine that thing, and I think I found it in various ways.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, like at that point in time when it first initially happened, I was like,
"So what you love now, though?"
This is one. Well, I've always
saying what I'm saying.
This, but.
So there's always what are you saying? There's always an alternative.
Yeah, but you have to find that though. I think I never thought I'd be doing it. I never thought I would write.
I always knew you would write because you was always. I remember when you were 3 years old, you stood in front of church and
did that in my case
speech.
Yeah,
in Black History.
Yeah,
and then miss a beat and even had the arm slinging, free at last. So I knew that you had it in you to be whatever you wanted to be.
Yeah, I just think a lot.
That's part of the thing is being free.
Yeah.
Your mind.
I think.
Because a lot of times we block our minds.
From our fears. 100%.
With fear, I said fear.
Yeah.
Fear over faith.
100%. I had one more question or one more topic I want to get to. It's something that we talk about often, and I think when I share this with people, they think it's weird, but I'm very realistic in thought. It probably consumes my mind probably more than most people. And that's life after you. You know, when we talk about this all the time, you tell me about how you will want me to remember you as. And you always say you're gonna live to 107. So you got time. But it is something I think as you get older you think about these things. And you tell me all the time that you're not afraid of transitioning.
No, it's time to go. It's up. You know, nothing we can do. Everybody we're born to die. So that's be a realistic. You don't know what day or hour you're gone, you alley.
What made you so I feel like a lot of that probably changes your perspective too, like when you're
unafraid. I guess it's from being sick.
Being sick.
If you've been sick unto death, I've been in a coma. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been sick unto death, stroke, heart attack, cancer. You have a different aspect of how life. To live.
Yeah.
You're not going to die, you're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
So that teaches you how to be an overcomer of anything you want to overcome.
Yeah.
No matter what the obstacles are. You can overcome if you put it in your mind and keep it there.
No. Well, that was it. I just wanted to say thank you again, Grimal. I think this was...
This was fun.
This was fun. I'm glad that I was able to do this.
While I'm up and running.
Yeah. I think that's the most important thing, too, is that me recognizing the fact that I do have a grandparent that's able-bodied, still solid in the mind.
No matter what happens, I'm getting up. I tell you all the time, you know, I've been living by myself over 23 years.
Yeah.
I'm going through some challenges right now, but, you know, I'm keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
No, you've always kind of told me that. I think that's where a lot of it gets wired from. Between you and my mom, you have always told me that.
Your mother's the same way.
Life continues to go no matter what you are feeling and how you should navigate through that, and I think that definitely plays a role. But you know,
but the main thing you have to have is love for yourself and for other people.
Yeah.